Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Mary, did you know your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you have kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know your baby boy one day rule the nations? Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great
we began by reading this morning Psalm chapter 5 as we usher in another new year. Psalm 5 says this: give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto you will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear early in the morning, O Lord. Yes, in the morning I will direct my prayers and thoughts unto you as I look unto God. What an appropriate passage of Scripture is given from King David as we bring in another new year. Right now, I'm going to invite the boys and girls out to Puggles while Children's Church stays in here with us. Children's Church gets a chance to stay in here with us as we'll be enjoying communion here together. So I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ here on this first Sunday of this brand new year. And I invite you to open your Bibles with me, please, to perhaps what many have considered to be the most well-known prayer of Jesus. Let me ask it again. What is the most well-known prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Anybody know? The model prayer. Go with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. You also find Luke's rendition of it in Luke chapter 2. But today we want to call attention to Matthew chapter 6, specifically verse number 9 and following. So before we honor the Lord at time of communion, before we remember the death, burial, and most importantly, the blessed resurrection of Jesus Christ, we certainly want to prepare ourselves before we approach the holy table of God. And what a better time than here and the first Sunday of a new year, a new year, a new you, a new year, a fresh start. Matthew chapter 6, beginning verse number 9. Many people consider this to be the Lord's Prayer. No, this is a prayer he gave to those who followed him. How do we know this is not the Lord's Prayer? Because he's praying to God the Father. But you find down here we have an opportunity to ask God for forgiveness. And Jesus was God. How many believe that? Say amen. The Son of God who took on flesh. The gift to the world. The author of salvation. Wow. Jesus would never have to ask the Father for forgiveness. So this is not the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord's model prayer for us. And it would serve us very well if we enjoy this together again today. On the first Sunday of a brand new year, as Jesus said, when you pray in Luke chapter 11, he says in verse number 2, when you pray, he says now in Matthew 6:9, do so after this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Stop. Now that's easy to read, but do you mean it? That's a question I ask myself when I read the Bible. You and I know this is God's love letter to us. But dear friend, it's the only book when you and I read it, it also reads us. These are more than just mere words. Do you know God as your Father, your Heavenly Father? If not, today could be the day that you're adopted into God's family. He would call you his child. See how simple that is? So it's easy to read, but sometimes, especially for adults, it's hard to live out. Because everybody believes in God. Dennis Cherry, our DOM of the Allegheny Association, he attends the same meetings I do. The last report, it has increased from 87.3% to 87.9% of West Virginians believe in God, but they have no religious affiliation. Did you catch that? 88% of West Virginians as a whole. And we're from here. This is our kinfolk. Everybody says they believe in God, but they've never made him their father. Not because they don't go to church, because they're not followers of Jesus Christ. They've never put their faith and trust in him. Now, if this is you today, as well as the radio listening audience, I would encourage you to take verse number 9 very seriously. This is not something we just recite with our children, our grandchildren, before we go to bed. The model prayer is God your Father. Do we see the reverence for him in verse number 9? And then Jesus goes on to point out the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, in verse 10. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, the daily provisions. Wonderful. A continued dependence upon God. And forgive us our debts, our trespasses, our wrongs, as we forget those who wrong us, who are indebted to us. We'll be talking about that today, who trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation. Wow. But he can deliver us from evil, from the evil one, Satan. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And amen, meaning I agree with this, even so. How many of you ever read the model prayer as found here in Matthew chapter number 6? Wonderful. You understand where we're going today. This is Jesus saying, when you pray to the Father through me who authored this in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Shall we practice that right now? Let's pray. Father, we are falling before you here this morning. Pointing out our dependence upon you. We need you each and every hour. Early in the morning, King David said, he would rise to seek you. We've done the same thing here today. We need you more than ever in 2019. Not because the world is crazy. It seems to be spinning out of control morally and spiritually and otherwise. God, we just want you to be real to each one of us here. Beginning with me, this lowly pastor. God, it's all about you. May you be our priority this year. May you get the first fruits of our time, our talents, our tithes. Not the leftovers, not the tip, not when it's convenient. May we get serious about following you as modeled here in this beautiful prayer. You are to be revered. You are the Heavenly Father. We thank you for the blessed Son. And oh, how we cry out for everyone to become a believer in Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Yes. And then how the Holy Ghost, the Paraclete, the pneumos of God, will take up residence inside of us as believers, so that every day we don't have to battle the evil one alone. As Jesus himself pointed out here, Satan is alive and well, and he's roaring, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Dear God, greater is you who is in us than Satan who's in this world. So we're laying claim to this brand new year. Before we go and enjoy communion with you, yes, we look back in great remembrance of that Last Supper. You there in that supper room, that upper room. Oh, how we enjoy our time together here in the Holy Script of God. So help us to be intentional this year. Help us to be serious this year. Help us to give, do, and be all we can be for King Jesus. We love you. We pray this in his name. And all of God's children said, amen. By a show of hands, how many of you are participating in our challenge to read through the Bible the entire year, and you've already begun your sojourn? Okay, if not, you look on the newsletter. You have some simple Bible apps that will come up on your phone, your tablet, your PC, or you simply can just take your Bible. We have a formula there. You can do it. You can Google it either way. 3 chapters a day, and then a book of wisdom, a chapter of wisdom, being Solomon, Song of Solomon or Proverbs, and you can read through the entire Bible in a given year. How many of you are taking the challenge of 30 days, a Daniel diet, fasting from all worldly music apart from Christian music? You're listening to Southern Gospel, or you're listening to contemporary, you're listening to praise and worship, you're listening to traditional. Folks, we stand before God without excuse. We have 88.1, 88.7, 90.1, 90.5, 91.1, and on and on and on. We have The Journey, we have Spirit FM, we have Joy FM, we have all these wonderful Christian radio stations right here at our fingertips. I challenge you, as I've challenged myself, take 30 days and listen. Just immerse yourself. Be intentional as we just pray. Be intentional about listening to Christian music. And then let's see how fit we are at the close of January. You know, a lot of people are not really intentional. People have lofty goals. You know, there's every preacher in the world is struggling with, do I preach on resolutions? You know, a lot of people set goals. I'm going to lose weight this year. I'm going to save more money this year. I'm going to value time more this year. I'm going to spend more time with my children and grandchildren this year. I'm going to be more focused, and yet they do absolutely nothing to see that come to fruition. The same thing can happen in our spiritual lives. If we are not focused, we're not intentional, doesn't it make sense? It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Gail McCroskey did a wonderful job of teaching the boys and girls about her resolutions for the year. Gail, may I read some of these? She gave me permission here before, Bob, but I was making sure I was still okay. She said, boys and girls during Awana, she said, I resolved this year to, are you ready for this, to kill. I looked at this about fainted in the parking lot. What? She said, boys and girls, I'm also going to be mean. I'm also going to hit and on and on and on and went. I said, Gail, you got to unpack this for me. You got to teach me what you'll be teaching the boys and girls before you go into the water room. She said, sure, I'm going to kill. I'm going to kill my urge to be lazy or kill the urge to be ugly to brothers and sisters. For you see, I'm the youngest of 10. I know what it's like. I'm going to be mean. Mean to Satan. And she goes on to teach how Satan is the evil one. How he's not a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus is that. Satan is the author of all evil. Be mean to him. Tell him he's not welcome in your bedroom. He's not welcome on your computer. He's not welcome in your life. Hit. I like this one. Hit. Now I'm thinking, what spin is she going to put on this? I'm resolved in 2019 to hit the bed early and get plenty of rest. So I'll be strong and alert. Wow. I'm going to cheat. Cheat. She's an accountant. I'm going to cheat failure. Don't be afraid to try something new because you think you might fail. How would you like to have someone teaching you this in Awana? You think they have, you would have their attention? She has my attention now. I'll be considering the rest of these tonight when we make our study through the book of Revelation. Well, this fits right into tribulation. And the two witnesses will be showing up in chapter 11 of Revelation. But dear friends, today is not about resolutions, losing weight, saving money, and more. It's about a new year that God has given us. And it's more than just an extension. Watch this. It's more than just an extension of last year and the previous year. I don't even try to talk about resolutions because people always say, well, you know what? I just don't believe in resolutions. And I'll say, you don't have to. A goal not set will surely be met. Does that make sense? Don't set any goals. Don't set the bar high, low, aggressive, attainable. Don't do anything. And you get to the end of the year and you'll be in the same condition you're in right now. How many of you, by a show of hands, would say, I am perfect just like I am? Go ahead and raise your hand. Go ahead, raise your hand. Watch the pastor. His hand's going down. We're all not perfect. We all struggle. And that's why the Lord gave us this model prayer down here. I want to be more complete. I'm resolved this year to pray more, to read the Bible more, to meditate more, to hit, Gail, the bed a little bit earlier and spend time with God, and rise up early and spend time with God. You do with this whatever you want to. All of these things, personal evangelism, all these opportunities God gives us. But most of us don't do this. Here's what we do. We just take last year and we just walk into the new year as the same person. And yet we've already agreed we're not perfect. And yet we walk into the same new year and just saying, God, I'm going to do the best with this mess. You know why I see more and more and more holding us back? More and more is the baggage that we drag in from previous years. Watch this. The baggage that we bring in to the new year with us. We don't leave it in the previous. No, we still bring it in. Right in the heart of this beautiful prayer, I find the subject line for today. It's rarely ever preached, especially from the Lord's Prayer. Does anybody see it? What's the one thing every Christian needs this brand new year? It's a spirit of forgiveness. You see that in verse 12? Forgive us as we forgive others. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. As a child, I'm going to be very careful with this, as a counselor. But as a child, I was violated by an uncle, by a neighbor, whatever. There's people here, no doubt, that happened to. And every year since then, you allow that person to still violate you. Oh, yeah, but somebody said something wrong with me 20 years ago, and I'm going to drag that in every single year. Of course they do. But let's be honest. If I ask you to raise your hand, has anyone ever wronged you? Every hand now would go up. But also keep your hand up if you've ever wronged someone else. Does that make sense? Sure, people have hurt our feelings. Sure, we've been wrong. But let's be honest with ourselves. Some people know how to give it, but they don't know how to take it. This is not a give and take. This is on the spirit of forgiveness. Forgiveness, friends, look in verse number 12 again. Forgiveness is a two-way street. Now, this is not about salvation. Jesus Christ is not addressing salvation. Your part is in verse number 9, those apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to pray to God the Father for forgiveness of your sin, repentance unto salvation. That's where we start. Jesus is addressing those who are supposed to be disciples, those who are already Christians. Christians. Well, he's teaching them how to forgive? Certainly. Remember what he said on the cross? Father, say it with me, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I often wanted to stomp my foot and say, they know exactly what they're doing. But I still got to take the promises of Jesus. They didn't understand that they thought they were killing a man. No. They were just playing a part. They were being a pawn in Satan's scheme to kill the Son of God. Put him in a grave, not knowing that he's going to have victory over the grave. That gets us excited as Christians. And this year, you and I can have victory over the spirit of forgiveness. More importantly, the spirit of unforgiveness. Forgiveness is a two-way street. So this is not about forgiveness between us and God only. This is about forgiveness between us and others. Well, let's just say this. Forget it. Somebody hurt my feelings 20 years ago, last year, or when I was a child. Somebody said something about my fill in the blank. Or somebody did something to me. And every single year we drag that in. We allow the Satan, the evil one of this world, the evil one, to water that for it to take root again and just gnaw at us another year. Can I tell you? I'm just not willing to let Satan rob me of my joy anymore. The people, they're just angry all the time. My heart goes out to them. The television set, I don't know about you, I can't even watch the news anymore. When they start slamming our country, our president, is that news? Is that as never before? Some of the shows that they're propagating to our children, it just, I'm resolved this year to spend more time with Jesus. I'm resolved to be the best Christian I can be. And I'm not going to let another person or even a bad report from the doctor, a health issue or whatever. I'm going to lay claim to the promises of Jesus Christ. How about you? Say amen. It's got to be a new year. A new year, a new you, a fresh start. We get a mulligan. We get a do-over. But let's say we don't. Let's say we don't forgive others. What do you think the outcome of that's going to be? Well, I don't really know. Beside the bitter spirit, what do you think the outcome is going to be? I don't know. Well, God is not the author of confusion. He tells us in the next two verses. Look with me the last word of verse 13. You see that word, amen? That just means you're agreeing with him. That doesn't mean it's the close of the prayer. That doesn't mean it's the close of the preaching. Jesus gave us this model prayer, and yet he says, amen. Even so, Selah. Meditate on these. Consider this. But then he goes on to say, but for if you forgive men their trespasses, look, verse 14 and 15 belongs with this. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But verse 15 ought to be underlined in every Bible in here. Verse 15. But if we don't forgive others, what does it say? Neither can we expect God to forgive us. Wow, he's talking to Christians. This has nothing to do with salvation. So we're going to carry some baggage in from last year or previous years or whatever it is, whatever somebody did to you. And you're saying, I'm just never going to forgive them. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, the Bible says he will be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Unless we're just not going to forgive others. So Lord, I want you to give me, but I'm not going to forgive these over here. And God said, wow, you might want to take another look at that prayer. Stan Toler is a Christian author who wrote about a church that maybe you'll know in a little devotional book I'm reading here this year. He begins by this little phrase that says, tying two cats' tails together does not necessarily constitute unity. How many of you know that to be true? Tying two cats' tails together is not going to bring about unity. So here in this day, he's talking about the spirit of unity. There once was a church that had very little unity. Although they were somewhat effective in their outreach, this church had to experience overwhelming obstacles. The church treasurer ran off with the church's money. The leaders were constantly making people mad, especially in their city. Hey, the associate pastor was impulsive and quick to put his foot in his mouth. Finally, a crisis came and the church divided. Oh boy, how the devil loves it when churches go through a fight. Several members left the church. They went to other cities and experienced the same disunity. Well, where was this church? Well, it was a church in Jerusalem, the church that Jesus Christ established. They would have done well to follow these simple tips to developing unity and being more effective for God. Bridling their tongue, keeping their promises, praising more than they criticized, valuing people more than buildings and things, smiling. Wow. I was at the bank the other day. It said, if you can't be courteous, just be quiet. I saw that sign hanging there beside by a teller's little cubicle. If you can't be courteous and polite, just be quiet. Smiling, refusing to gossip, laughing with people, enjoying life, and having a spirit, exercising a spirit of forgiveness. Unity. Here's what John said, John 17, verse 22. I have given them the glory that you gave me. The glorious unity of being one in Christ Jesus. Yes, as we are one. As we are one. Aren't you tired, Miss Hilly? Ain't you tired? I borrowed that line from a movie of 2011 known as The Help. Anybody ever seen that movie, The Help? It's very similar to the movies portrayed back in the 60s during the unrest, the racial unrest in America, like Mississippi Burning or In the Heat of the Night. The Help was about a group of African-American maids who every day would go into the wealthy part of town and would serve as cooks and nannies and housekeepers for these wealthy women. And are always at odds with one another. Well, at the close of the movie, you find that line. This very evil woman mistreating Abilene, going to accuse her of stealing like she had with others. And the black maid was sent to prison. Well, back in that day in the 60s, if you can imagine, if someone accused you of stealing and you were hired help, you were going to get a fair trial. Especially here, it was portrayed in Jackson, Mississippi. And so Miss Hilly was upset with the maid. And this weathered, beat-down maid took her by the arm. She said, call the police, call the police. I'm going to get her thrown in jail too. And she said, Miss Hilly, you's a godless woman. Watch this. Ain't you tired? Ain't you just tired of all this? Friends, I wonder if anybody's here or in the radio listening audience, they could put their name right there. Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of being evil? Aren't you tired of carrying around bitterness from something in the past? Are you truly going to bring it into this year? Really? Aren't you tired? Wouldn't this be a good year to start fresh? Wouldn't this be a good year to clean the slate? If you look inside of your bulletin, you're going to see what I've taught here before. I'm not going to go over everything. The six steps to being genuine and forgiving one another. Now, don't skip the steps. Don't add to the steps. There's six biblical steps down here. And by the way, this is not between man and God. We'll talk about that another time. We've already touched on it today. You and I are sinners in need of a Savior. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Each and every day we should cleanse ourselves before a holy and a righteous God. But what about man to man? You see examples down here. Inside of your bulletin, you see all the sermon notes down there? Biblical examples from Genesis all the way through the New Testament. Wow. God says you must forgive one another. You expect me to forgive you. Steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let me hit on the highlights for those listening by radio. Here in the book of Matthew, you find Jesus saying, just take heed of yourself. Is it really worth pursuing? Someone wronged you. Probably like you wronged someone else. Every time someone does something against you, if all we do is square off against them, we're never going to do anything productive for the Lord. Can I get a witness? Maybe it wasn't intentional. So take heed to yourself. David said you need a reason within yourself. Step two, if a Christian, not a lost person, intentionally hurts you, pray about it. If God tells you to, then go see that person alone. Maybe they didn't mean it intentionally. I've been falsely accused of something in the last year that I had nothing to do with. Perhaps you as well. Step three, if they do want to reconcile, do not want to reconcile, then take another Christian back with you. Why? To build things up, not to have an arsenal, an army. Step four, if they still won't listen, then pray for this person. Well, let's excommunicate them out of the church. That's not biblical. Pray for the person with others. Remember, you see, remember down there in step four, a primary purpose of God's church is to build up and not tear down. Not everybody wants to be forgiven. Not everybody wants to live on a Christian communal basis. We understand that. And step five, if steps one through four have not been effective, then just give them to Jesus. Don't drag it in this year. Some people are just bitter. They're going to go bitter. There's nothing we can do about that. And number six, always be willing to forgive. Forgive and forgive others so you can receive communion biblically. What do you mean by that? Remember what the Apostle Paul said? In chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, while the deacons are coming forward, please, this time to prepare for communion, the Apostle Paul said, before you take communion, before you can truly biblically honor the Lord in remembrance of this Last Supper, you need to examine yourself. If you're here today with that spirit of bitterness, wouldn't it be a great time to ask God to forgive you and to cleanse you? I'm going to ask Betty to make her way over to the organ and play softly. Gentlemen, just have a seat here for a moment so we all can examine our hearts. If someone has wronged you, I'm sorry. If I've wronged you, I'm sorry. But understand, the devil's behind all of this. God's given us a brand new year, a fresh start. You and the radio listening audience, let's claim 2019 as truly being a year of victory. Cleansing ourselves before God. Forgiving those who have wronged us. So that we then can expect God to forgive us. Or we can just hold on to it, use it as part of our weaponry, and join Satan's army. That's simple. God forbid. God wants us to honor His table, hear the communion, and this time He has given us biblically. Father, we come into Your presence, asking You to cleanse us at this time. Knowing that we forgive others, You will always be willing to forgive us. So bring back to memory of some situation. Help us to be forgiving Christians. As Your blessed Son, the Savior of this world, was so quick to forgive others, yes, who were even crucifying Him. Wow, we have never been persecuted like that. What a model example. What a model prayer. Forgive us now and help us be quick to forgive others. Thank You, Lord. Now prepare our hearts and our minds, our spirits fused together, welded together with You in this holy time of communion. What a great and delightful start to a brand new year. By remembering what You did for us at Calvary more than 2,000 years ago. We love You. We honor You. We revere You, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be Thy holy name. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.